going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
America faces a choice. This is Battleground America. Here's Tara Servatius.
Well, it's time for this week's edition of the Insane Things Podcast. Let's dive right in. For those of you who are new, this is how I wrap up the week by picking the most insane things. Now, they have to be things we've never seen before or that we haven't seen in our lifetimes. And as I always say, it's insane that I can do this every week. But these are the times that we live in. And folks, most weeks, this is one of those, I could make this podcast twice as long if I wanted to. But I've got to get home to be with the kids. So here we go. Insane thing number 7. Winning. So much record-breaking winning. Headline, Fox News. Customs and Border Patrol releases March border crossing numbers, marking lowest to date ever recorded. Under the Biden administration, there were frequently 7,000 border crossings a day. During March, the whole month of March, there were just 7,180 recorded. So, frequently 7,000 a day under Joe Biden in the month of March, just 7,180. That's in the entire month of March. But here's the question, though. How many of these people got to stay? Fox News actually just released that a few moments ago. Joe Biden apprehended, but then released into the United States of America between January 20th and April 1st of 2024, 184,000 people. How many did Trump do? Basically, this is the Trump term so far. 9. Total. 9 people. How many, again, did Biden release again? January 20th through April 1st of 2024, 184,241. Donald Trump, January 20th through April 1st of 2025, just 9. Which goes to show you folks, they were lying. Remember when they said the border was secure and it was a conspiracy theory that it wasn't secure? Well, they were full of it. And then do you remember when they said after that, okay, it's not secure, but there's nothing we can do. In fact, it's Trump's fault we can't do anything because he called up all those senators and got them to kill the legislation that would stop the flood. What a joke. You mean we got from January 20th of this year to April 1st and only released 9 into the country? Folks, you know what this proves? The Democrats were running the greatest voter drive, voter recruitment, illegal operation ever on Earth in human history, which is what makes this show insane. Insane thing number 6. Remember the part where they tried to put Donald Trump away for 700 years across 5 cases? And on top of it, where they tried to have him stripped off the ballot? Turns out that wasn't a one-off. It's a tactic that the left is using around the world. as it becomes super obvious that the left does not intend to allow free elections anymore. At least, not the globalist left. That'd be the very same people that Trump is fighting with the tariffs. Folks, there are not words for the totalitarian bent of Europe. Americans simply don't understand that from Ireland to Scotland to the UK to Germany, free speech just does not exist anymore. Neither do Western values. Folks, we are watching the heads of populist conservative political parties arrested. We're watching them thrown off the ballot as they lead in the polls by the globalist left-wing tyrants who won't let them run anymore. For decades, we've rolled our eyes as South American, Central American, third-tier backwaters have done this kind of thing. The most popular candidate gets thrown in prison, taken off the ballot. Folks, it's happening in European nation after European nation, and it's terrifying. Folks, a lot of people don't understand the significance of J.D. Vance's speech in Germany. And, you know, to most people on our side, they think he went there to talk about free speech and how they need to have free speech. No, you don't understand. The opposition party, the AfD, which was leading in the polls, was banned from campaigning, was banned from being seen or heard from online. And that was after its leader was indicted and convicted of speech crimes for accurately quoting government rape statistics about migrants who have a 10 to 30 times propensity for raping white women compared to the rest of the population. Wait, that's accurate? Yes. She actually shared photographs of government statistics when she said it. It didn't matter. What's astonishing is that, again, they were banned from campaigning, including on social media, and they still led in the polls. This is a template they started with Trump, and it makes Trump's escape all the more miraculous because nobody else has escaped the left-wing globalist dragnet. Right-wing politician Kalin Georgescu actually won the first election, but it was said there was Russian influence and the results had to be thrown out. They then went back to court to keep Kalin off the ballot the second time. And when that became dicey, he was indicted. See the pattern? Next on to France, where Marine Le Pen's party made the mistake of, yep, you got it, leading in the polls. On Monday, a court ruled that Le Pen cannot run for office for 5 years on account of the guilty verdict she just got for supposedly embezzling European Parliament funds. She can appeal the verdict, which is ridiculous, but she can't appeal the ban by the judge from running that came with it, which means she cannot run in the 2027 presidential race. She was also given, by the way, a 4-year prison sentence and a $100,000 fine. She will serve 2 years imprisonment under house arrest. So, folks, what did she do? Well, her real crime was leading in the polls. She was found guilty of allegedly embezzling European Parliament funds. She didn't actually steal any money. She used it to pay her staff. Her staff did work for the European Parliament, think congressional staff, but also did work for her political party. That's not exactly problematic since it's standard practice for the European Parliament. It's just she was the only one arrested on those charges, which she proved in court, but it didn't matter. She was the only one prosecuted. In fact, it's routine to do that. It's expected in a parliamentary system where the party is indistinguishable from the candidate and you actually elect the party. And then you accomplish the party's platform. In other words, it's indistinguishable. It's gotten to the point where those who actually know what's going on are wondering if one of us, a normal, a conservative, a populist, will ever be allowed to run again. Or will we just be summarily sent to prison? And folks, that's a very real question, not just for Europe or what's left of it, but for America, too, if you think about it. Insane thing number 5. Where I live here in South Carolina, the sheriff of Spartanburg, a very well-known Republican, is under grand jury investigation by the FBI. He just took a leave of absence while all this is going on. And I couldn't help but wonder, since I know him, if he's kind of freaking out, I would be. Wouldn't it be a relief if you could just, you know, call up the FBI and not only have them cover up your crimes, but have them censor anybody like me who's talking about them. But Sheriff Chuck Wright's a Republican, so he's not eligible for that treatment like the Biden family is. This week, we saw a declassified version, an incredible declassified version of the texts back and forth by FBI higher-ups as they plotted how to cover up Joe Biden's crimes, as documented on the Hunter Biden laptop. In the texts back and forth to each other, Laura Demolo writes, "Just a domestic hit job. Yay." She's referring to their group meeting with Twitter to convince them to censor the New York Post story on Hunter Biden's laptop, which, folks, remember, is significant. Our side never really fully got this right, which is significant not because of the hookers, the blow, or any of that, but because it documents how the Biden family took $30 million from the Chinese Communist Party, laundered it, and yes, the big guy got 10%. So say two IRS whistleblowers who tried to investigate it and were gagged. Speaking of being gagged, that's what the whole matter was about that was declassified this week. There was that one guy who I guess didn't get the memo that he was supposed to lie to Twitter. He was on the joint call with the Twitter executives and they were all planning their censorship because, of course, the laptop wasn't real. I mean, the Biden family wouldn't take $30 million from China in a double felony or anything. No, they wouldn't do that. No. So they were all having a phone call on how to censor this. And this one guy pipes up and says, when asked by the Twitter executives, so, I mean, is the laptop real? He said, yeah, it's real. Well, that was a problem. And they talk about how the counsel, the FBI lawyer, jumped in and had to assure the Twitter folks that, you know, everything was fine and it should be censored. Well, the text chain that's now been declassified is all of these corrupt FBI muckety-mucks talking about how they can't believe they had to spell it out for this guy and how they gagged him and everybody else at the FBI, who was relevant to this, from talking about the Hunter Biden laptop. Folks, you know what this means? This is definitive proof the FBI is a crime syndicate. But by the way, these people are still there. They haven't been fired. And more outrageously to me, we don't even know all their names. Kash Patel finally released this. Congress had subpoenaed it last year, but he, for some unknown reason, allowed the names of these people, who quite frankly should be indicted, to be blacked out and redacted. Have you admonished? And then the name is blank. So in the FBI, just understand this culture, you're admonished for telling the truth about Joe Biden's crimes, about Hunter Biden's crimes. That is the mentality of the FBI. Somebody else then responds after the line, hey, have you admonished blank? Yes, but he won't shut up. Here's my favorite part, though. The chief censor, Elvis Chan, for the FBI, the guy who admitted in interviews his job was to go around and censor the rest of us who were telling the truth, is on this chain. Here's the crazy part. He's out there assuring everybody that the laptop needs to be censored. And in this conversation, he actually asks, were there any crimes? Do they commit any crimes? What kind of case is this laptop thing? Corruption, he writes, ? Campaign financing? In other words, he wants to know what kind of crimes Biden committed, you know, that he's covering up. Well, the answer is blanked out, but we know it now. I'm not sure why it's blanked out. It's bribery and money laundering. There was actually a Hunter Biden money laundering investigation. We know that now, but, you know, at the time it wasn't public. He writes, oh, crap. Then he writes, okay, it ends here. So the chief censor for the FBI has just been caught saying, okay, wow, all right, they committed crimes. It ends here. Oh, you know, you can count on me. I'm going to cover this up. Republicans called this election interference. We always come up with the most milquetoast terms for this stuff. No, this should be a RICO case. These people should be indicted. And what's amazing to me is they're all still at the FBI unless their firings have been kept secret, which I doubt would happen. I think they'd be speaking out. Folks, we're still redacting their name. Why are we protecting these people? Insane thing.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Sophie. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Insane thing number four, the math here. It just doesn't add up. Whenever the left wants to stop something now, somehow, despite the fact that there's supposed to be a lottery, Donald Trump gets Judge James Boasberg. That is statistically impossible, which is what Senator Eric Schmidt was saying this week.
You've got Judge Boasberg in the D.C. District Court level that's being assigned cases that are supposed to be random. It's statistically impossible, Laura, for him to get the number of high-profile cases he's gotten. So something's going on right here, going on right now, and it stinks.
Bottom line, what this means, they're not even hiding their lawfare. You can practically hear them snickering about it. There's 15 judges in the D.C., you know, circuit courts that are eligible to hear these cases, and Trump keeps getting this one. In fact, oddly, it's going on all over the country. As Senator Ted Cruz pointed out to Senator Amy Klobuchar.
Democrats today hate democracy, and they engage in lawfare to stop democracy from operating. They're going and seeking out individual radical judges to try to shut down policies, and they are forum shopping like crazy.
Number one, we love the democracy. The only reason there's all these injunctions, Senator Cruz, is because he's violating the Constitution.
Why don't you file them in red districts?
Senator Cruz. Why? What did you just say?
And that's where the dual justice comes in. You can't just forum shop and pick your judge. The whole system is set up to keep that from happening. But yet it's happening at a 92% rate. That's according to Mike Johnson, who this week, the Speaker of the House, was talking about the astonishing rate at which Trump gets Democrat judges for these cases. The statistically impossible rate of 92%. There's also the other statistically impossible fact that Donald Trump has gotten a nationwide injunction more times than every other president before him combined.
Something is happening right now that has not happened before. In the last 100 years, listen to this, 67% of the injunctions issued against a president were issued against one president alone, and that's Donald J. Trump. 67% of the injunctions over the last 100 years. Okay, that's a problem. 92% of those were issued by judges who were known or accused of being partisan, you know, Democrat appointees to the court. So that something unusual is happening, something that is out of the norm. It is a dangerous trend, and it violates equal justice under law, that critical principle. It violates our system itself. It violates separation of powers when a judge thinks that they can enjoin something that a president is doing that the American people voted for. That is not what the founders intended.
Yeah, something that Mike Johnson planned to do absolutely nothing about until Ron DeSantis called him out three times in 72 hours. Something he could have easily sponsored legislation to do or allowed it through in January, but he dragged his feet till it was pointed out to him. Whatever the case, he's got legislation now, he says. Again, folks, the courts below the Supreme Court do not exist in the Constitution. They can be wiped out at any time. And as Ron DeSantis explained when he was beating Mike Johnson about the head last week, look what the founders used to do back during that period. If they got mad at a judge, they wouldn't even bother to impeach him. They'd just eliminate the judgeship entirely. It would cease to exist. Then later they might reconstitute it or not. We could do that if we had the will to do it. But unfortunately, Anna Paulina Luna has to nurse her baby. So we are going to be without any legislation for the rest of the week since she joined Democrats. She was, up until the beginning of the week, a Republican member of the Freedom Caucus, in demanding proxy voting for people just like her, who just had a baby. Folks, I don't get this. Women manage to go to work all the time who've had babies, and they don't have staff. She has staff. Folks, I used to have a baby sling. They're really comfortable. You know what? Slap the baby in the sling, take the baby down on the floor, and vote. If the baby cries, hand said baby to your staff. This is not hard. But we just lost another week, and unfortunately, while she's busy trying to figure out how to feed the baby and take care of the baby while being a member of Congress, Judge Boasberg, who we started the segment talking about, is talking about finding Trump and other administration officials in contempt of court. He'd probably have a hard time putting Trump in prison for that because Trump has immunity, but his staff is fair game. You could see somebody high ranking, a Tom Homan, a Christine Noem, jailed because they jailed a Tren de Aragua illegal immigrant gang member. Folks, what a spectacle that would be. Insane thing number four. Well, we now know why the Democrats were screaming so loud about Musk and his Doge team going into the Social Security Administration. They scream louder about that than any other agency, which is what made me think, that's where the big thing is. And it looks like they found it. Found the reason why it was specifically Social Security they screamed the loudest about. You know, Musk is going to steal your grandmama's check or her identity or some other stupid thing. Musk just wants her private info. Isn't it strange these people never scream when the NSA captures every keystroke, every text, every email you've ever sent, every line of every expenditure in your bank account? They're like totally cool with that. Every book you've ever bought, every porn film you've ever rented, that's all fine. But if Musk is going into Social Security, well, now that is a violation of your privacy. These people kill me. But it turns out it wasn't grandma they wanted privacy for. No, no, no. It was the almost 6 million illegal immigrants who Joe Biden secretly and illegally granted Social Security numbers to and then illegally signed up for various forms of welfare. We found that out over the weekend on a stage in Wisconsin when Elon Musk and Valor CEO and Doge volunteer Antonio Gracias unveiled their staggering findings. Again, 6 million illegal immigrants secretly given Social Security numbers. 1.3 million alone signed up for Medicaid. That's illegal. You can't put them on federal programs. They just got here. They're illegal. But we also found out why the Democrats have been screaming so loudly about replacement theory for a bunch of years. The idea that they were bringing the illegals in so they could replace voters who increasingly refused to vote for Democrats, because that's exactly what it looks like Democrats were doing with these illegals, building a shadow constituency with shadow voters. Here's Gracias explaining this on Fox News.
That's a jaw-dropping number. Where did all those people come from?
Well, it made my jaw drop, too, when I saw it. You know, we were in Social Security looking for fraud, waste, and abuse, and to do that, we actually looked at the enumeration system, the system by which people get numbers in America. And we found that there were just about 5+ million of them that came to the country as illegals and then got through an automatic system, Social Security numbers, so they get into our benefit systems. And we tracked that through and found that they were on the benefit programs. And just because we were curious, we then looked to see if they were on the voter rolls. And we found in a handful of cooperative states that there were thousands of them on the voter rolls and that many of them had voted.
Insane thing number three. Everybody hates Democrats. That's not the insane thing. The insane thing is they don't care. The more people hate them for who they are, the more they march around and show everybody. Like the Satanist who just openly gave Tim Walz a plaque commemorating him for what he's done for them. The Satanist plaque thanks Governor Walz for not standing in the way of spreading Satanism inside the state Capitol building. I'd add outside too, but whatever. No, but in all seriousness, folks, the Democrats this week hit an all-time party approval low in one poll and a close to all-time party approval low in another poll. And they didn't care. Take Georgia, for instance, a critical swing state for them always, but especially in the upcoming Senate race. They really need to keep Ossoff in office, but they don't seem to care what Georgians think at all. Take a look at what they did the other day. Georgia Democrats, the state legislature, walked out in protest of a bill by Republicans that would block tax dollars from being used for sex change surgeries for inmates in prison. Democrats in Austin, Texas, actually blocked law enforcement after the arrest of 40 Tren de Aragua gang members who had kids with them and narcotics with them when they were arrested. Again, don't care if the American people know they love violent illegal immigrant gang members. In fact, The leadership this week in Congress spoke out about the deportation of a known Trinidad Aragua illegal immigrant gang member with a deportation order. Yeah, because a judge had also issued a separate order keeping him from being deported because he might be killed by other gang members in El Salvador. Here's the weird part of it, though. The same judge made a finding that he was a danger to Americans. And the Democrats, well, all they did was cry over him this week. Take voter ID, for instance. They know that in poll after poll after poll, over 80% of Americans say they want it. You need to show valid ID to vote. Yet Democrats spoke out passionately against it this week as everybody ignored them. In Wisconsin, by the way, it passed with 67% of the vote. And that was in an election where Democrats overwhelmingly were able to push that liberal Supreme Court justice over the line. By the way, folks, that was interesting in Wisconsin. That's a state, it's always close. Trump lost it last time. He won it this time by less than a point. But this Wisconsin liberal judge was able to shut out her Republican opponent by more than 200,000. That's about 10% in that race. It was an overwhelming victory for the left. And so naturally, they proclaim that everybody loved them again and everybody hates Trump and this is a rebuke. No. Keep in mind again, folks, this is the week that not one but two polls showed the Democrat Party either at an all-time low or a close to all-time low. And that was in CNN polling. This is CNN's pollster reacting to it.
Holy Toledo. Voters' views of the Democrats in Congress among all voters disapprove 68%. And look at the approved number, just 21%, even lower than the Democratic Party at large. This is the lowest on record for Democrats, according to Quinnipiac University polling. You think these numbers are bad? Let's go to this side of the screen. We'll look how Democratic voters feel. Get this. The plurality of Democratic voters disapprove of Democrats in Congress at 49%, and just 40% approve. Horrible, horrible, horrible. Oh, my goodness gracious, you just can't get worse than these numbers.
And this is the number right here really driving all of this. If Democratic voters have turned on Democrats in Congress and the Democratic Party, that's what puts the numbers at historic lows. What is it they want to be seeing, these voters?
What is going on? I'll tell you what's going on. They don't like what's coming out of some of those Senate Democrats like Chuck Schumer, because take a look at the direction of the party. Democratic voters on Democrats in Congress doing too little to oppose Donald Trump. Look at this. 77% should stay principled, even if it means nothing gets done in Washington, D.C. 65%. And this 65% is such a difference from where we were in 2017 at this point, when just 33% of Democrats say they should stay principled, compared to 59% who said they want to compromise. Democrats do not want compromise at this point. They want a fighter. They want to go into the ring like Muhammad Ali did against Sonny Liston. They want to take down the Republicans. They do not want this compromise anymore. They want to be more like Republicans, get up to that stage and fight. And right now they feel like their leaders in Congress are simply put not doing so. And that is why their approval rating for congressional Democrats is at an all-time low, even among Democrats with more disapproving than approving.
Yeah, it seems that these Senate Democrats, some of them are banking on the idea that there is still a political middle, as it were. We will see.
We will see if there's a political middle. But at this point, count me skeptical that that is at least what the Democratic base wants at this point. It's going to be very interesting, John, to see moving forward whether or not there are any repercussions come 2026, because I bet there may be some coming.
So how are both things true? We just got our butts kicked in Wisconsin. But at the same time, even CNN's own pollster is still spelling doom given the historic nature of these numbers. Well, I'll tell you what happened. It's really simple. Democrat voters are fired up enough to turn out their hardcore base. Our voters apparently don't come out, at least not in full coalition. And Scott Jennings said this, ironically, on CNN. He's right about this. He said, look, things are great when Trump's on the ballot. That's how we pull in all these people who normally won't vote for us. But when it's just Republicans on the ballot, well, you see the problem. We're going to have to figure out how to fix this. You know why people love those people on the fringes, the ones who might vote Democrat, might vote Republican, or might just stay face down in bed for the rest of the day? Those people, why they love Trump so much? It was the fist in the air. Fight, fight, fight. They totally related to that, especially after they tried to put him in prison for 700 years. People get it. It's a better story than most of what's on TV for binging right now. That's why they're just not excited about the Republicans, not as pumped up as the Democrats. And the Democrats hate their leadership. So it goes to show you the enthusiasm problem we have. So how could Republicans solve this? They're going to have to do it on their own. In other words, prove they can stand on their own without Trump. Well, they could fight, fight, fight. Just show some of the fight he shows every day. It's inspiring. People would come out for it, but they just don't think they're going to get it. So they stayed home in Wisconsin. It's a problem. But Democrats, as you just heard, have some pretty big problems, too. Oh, and those two congressional seats we won in Florida, which was supposed to be some kind of victory, even though we won them by half the margin Trump did. Trump won them by about 30. We won them by 15. Yeah, same problem. I was in the Ron DeSantis camp on that. He did an interview and he said he was baffled as to why anybody was watching those races. Those are very red districts. We were always going to win. And he said, but you know what? We weren't going to win by anywhere near as much because it's an off election with no president or even a midterm on the ballot. And on top of that, one of those two Republicans running was not popular with the base at all. In other words, he was a rhino. So I'm not even paying attention to what's going on in Florida. I don't care. I think we're good. Insane thing number two could broadly be called jobs, or rather insane job numbers. Job numbers you're probably not going to hear most other places. But here it is, the New York Times admitting that President Donald Trump's deportations may give a 17% wage gain to American construction workers. 17%. Folks, he's only sent a little over 200,000 people out of the country. Others, of course, are running too, so these are rough estimates, but still, 17% wage gain. Okay, folks, one of the most destructive lies told to the American people, and they repeat it like zombies, it drives me nuts. Oh, for years I did columns on this way back in Charlotte, because this propaganda came from the Chamber of Commerce, the very people who wanted to flood the market with illegal immigrants, not because they didn't have enough workers, they did, but because they wanted to bust their wages down. This idea that Americans won't work. No, that's not true. Complete the sentence. Americans won't work for artificially depressed wages. Artificially depressed by the chamber's own lobbyists and, of course, Washington and an overly permissive immigration policy. But people will work. 17%. You know what's going to happen here, folks? Americans are going to go back to work. Look, we had the study from this summer from the Center for Immigration Studies that showed over 50%, almost 52% of illegal immigrant adults were not working. They're not working. Folks, I've been telling you this. There aren't enough jobs for them and us. That's what busts down wages. And folks, I'll never forget an interview I did. And it was around 2013 with an economics professor, libertarian. He came on and he explained, look, the wage that is being paid in meat processing factories is literally the same, he said, as in the 80s. Not adjusted for inflation, like dollar for dollar. It hadn't gone up. That had been purely because of illegal immigration. So back in the 80s, if you had messed up, you dropped out of high school, you made some mistakes, you know, maybe had a little crime on your record, you could, you know, reinvent yourself. You could pay your bills by doing that work. It's not fun, but it paid really well for the 80s. Well, they flooded it with illegal labor. And of course, now nobody's going to do that work except people who can't legally work in this country. See the lie there? And you can see how fast, I mean, folks, we haven't even deported half these people. 17% wage gain? Oh, and this just in while I'm recording. U.S. adds 228,000 jobs in March, blowing the 140,000 job expectation out of the water. Oh, and this too, this is more good news, folks. This is just a trend, but it's a good trend. If you look at December 2024, folks, we were hemorrhaging manufacturing jobs. And true to form, Biden's last month in office, we lost 10,000 manufacturing jobs. Then in January 2024, we lost 5,000. Remember, Trump was sworn on the 20th of January, so almost the end of the month. Okay, so Trump's first full month, February, it reversed. We gained 8,000 manufacturing jobs. Folks, this hemorrhaging of manufacturing jobs has been going on for a while. During the whole Biden term, we lost more than 200,000. 5,000. And folks, that was not an accident. Democrats want manufacturing gone. That's why they gutted energy. Why are manufacturers hiring again? By the way, they hired another 1,000 in March because Joe Biden, remember, had executively with an executive order. They can do this on federal lands. Added what essentially was a tax to natural gas. That's how you got the 29% increase over the Biden term in the price of natural gas. And that's a good part of what gutted manufacturing. Trump came in and took it off. It's a huge deal. And that's why you're seeing the reversal, that the hiring equation, the creation equation makes sense as those energy costs go down. And again, Biden can't do that for the whole country, but he can do it for the natural gas produced on federal lands. And that's what he did. It's just, folks, it's just pure destruction for destruction's sake. It's who the Democrats are. Here's some more numbers. Things that weren't thought to be possible. Folks, I mean, just to cut a program out of the federal budget, you get screaming and yowling. Folks, I think the Democrats have all but given up. Do you know what DOGE is up to? I actually saw this number today. I was absolutely shocked by it. 216,000 firings. Folks, I guarantee you no one will ever notice they're gone. Folks, you know what this means? We can cut waste and fraud on a massive scale. By the way, that's only 7% of the federal workforce. And no, that doesn't count the military. 7% of the federal workforce. What waste? But you know what? It's like Trump has popped that balloon now. It makes it okay to cut. This is a great standard to establish. And you know what else, folks? I haven't seen that number anywhere else. I shot an article and it just breezed by me. Folks, Trump is using that scattershot strategy that the Democrats do, where they just would throw so much destruction at you at one point. You can't even keep up with it for talk radio, much less combat it. He's doing the same thing to them. So many punches, punch, 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 punch. They can't keep up. Normally they'd be screaming and crying and leading around federal employees who'd lost their jobs. Everybody would have tears in their face. No, they can't keep up. It's fantastic. He needs to keep going on that. And yes, on the tariffs, which is insane thing. Number one.
Well, the new tariffs are already seeing some positive results. General Motors is increasing its truck production here in the U.S., and Commerce Secretary Howard Lutnick says Americans are ready to go to work.
The American workers have been given the raw deal. And what's going to happen now is we're going to build factories and we're going to train and we're going to have trade craft. Our high school educated people, they're going to train to do robotics mechanics. These are great paying jobs that are Americans. We're going to have 5 million of those jobs coming. And America is going to retool. You've never seen anything like what you're going to see. The renaissance of American manufacturing coming because Donald Trump is bringing them back.
Yeah, that's if the globalists, who it turns out are a bunch of drama queens, don't manage to crash the stock market first or create one heck of a fantastic buying opportunity, depending on your perspective. That's how my husband sees it. And yes, they are deliberately trying to crash the stock market right now. Look, folks, I'm going to keep this really simple. A lot of folks are comparing these tariffs to the Smoot-Hawley Act, where Republican Congress put, tariffs on to try to lessen the brunt of the Great Depression, and it was a disaster. They lost control of power for 60 years. Yes, those were done congressionally. This is different, and I'll tell you why. Because those tariffs were like a brick wall. They were immovable. Trump has tariff authority. He can yank them up, can yank them down. He can run them all around. In other words, none of this has to stay put. And I thought the person who actually had the best take on this week was, of all people, George W. Bush's former Commerce Secretary, who said, look, I don't expect these tariffs to be on by the end of the year. Donald Trump should probably be done negotiating them by then.
Well, I would say, like most people, this was stronger than what many of us expected. But it's the opening step. So I would expect, I would assume that this will not be in place in a month, 2 months, definitely not in the back half of the year. So I'm in the camp that this is the beginning of a big negotiation.
Yeah. And folks, look, this is part of what's tanking the stock market. They are talking it down on purpose by making an idiotic assumption that once Trump puts these tariffs on, they'll be there forever. Nothing will change. All of our trading partners, all the other countries, simply accept them as they are, make no changes, no negotiations, nothing's different, and we go on forever. That's a pretty big assumption. I mean, yeah, then at that point, we will get what looks like inflationary rises in goods. And look, folks, we're going to have a recession no matter what. I've been telling you that since, gosh, before the election. Those are Joe Biden's numbers. They'd already been revised down by the time Trump was sworn into office to a negative 1.5% growth. The Atlanta Fed did that. That's not Trump. So, look, I've been saying for a long time those numbers were fake. We are in a recession. I said that last quarter, and I said they are waiting until Trump is sworn in on January 20th, and then they're going to scream and blame him. And this is just them doing that because these big multinationals do not want to give up their international monopolies. They don't want to do it, and they need to do it. But look, folks, here's the good news, all right? However this ends up, let me tell you what we've gained here, okay? I have been screaming about NAFTA, screaming about these factories and all of the loss of the manufacturing jobs for 17 years, and nobody gave a damn. Nobody did. It wasn't even up for discussion in Congress. Donald Trump has personally forced this, okay? And by winning against incredible odds the 2024 election and then doing this with the tariffs, he is forcing the political class to acknowledge this and to have that discussion. I can't tell you how big of a victory just that is, because folks, they were just going to sit up there and fat cat their way to the end of the last factory. And those manufacturing numbers out a minute ago, proof of that. I want to end this week with something that puts it all in perspective. J.D. Vance put it perfectly. This is what they don't want to talk about. This is the sheer size of the carnage since NAFTA.
Think about how many factories we've seen close down since NAFTA in the early 90s. 90,000 American factories have been closed down. That's small towns that have been blighted. That's millions of workers who have lost their jobs. That has to stop.
And that's your wheelhouse.
President Trump, that is my wheelhouse.
That's where you're from.
I grew up in a town where you had 10,000 great American steel workers, and my town was one of the lucky ones. Now probably has 1,500 steel workers in that factory because you had economic policies that rewarded shipping our jobs to China instead of investing in American workers. And that's what President Trump. He ran on changing it. He promised he would change it. And now he has. And I think Americans are going to reap the benefits. But we care the most about American workers and about American small businesses. And they're the ones who are really going to benefit from these policies.
Battleground America with Tara Servatius. Please subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Share with friends, family, and other free thinkers. Thanks for listening.